Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
So on our main show, each of us will always recommend a piece of media that is tenuously linked with the film we review on that episode. So now we have forced one of our co-hosts to watch one of our recommendations. So today we'll be looking at the horny coming-of-age comedy, Yes God Yes, the Richard Linklater animated stoner trip, Waking Life, and the cult classic 90s animated series, Mission Hill. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So, up first is Lucy. She was given the 2019 comedy, Yes God Yes, by me, who recommended it on our Soul episode. Yes God Yes stars Stranger Things' Natalie Dyer, who starts to feel conflicted about her budding sexuality and decides to go to a school's Christian retreat. But while she's there, she discovers that her pious friends and teachers may not be as innocent as they seem. So I recommended this one to Lucy because I thought it might be up her alley. She loves the show Pen 15 and this kind of shares similar DNA about like
totally
teen girls coming of age. It's set in the year 2000, so it's got a lot of that 90s nostalgia and early 2000s nostalgia to it. And I know she likes Stranger Things and it stars one of the main characters of Stranger Things as well. So I thought this was a pretty safe bet that she would enjoy this one. So Lucy, was I right?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was a really good recommendation. Thank you. And, you know, like it totally slipped under the radar for me. I didn't hear about it or anything. So I'm glad I got the opportunity to watch it.
This film isn't available to watch anywhere in Australia. We kind of had to be a bit sneaky about it. And I just don't understand why, because it's like there's so much that it could be sold on, especially now that the world's in like Stranger Things fever.
Yeah.
Do you know who's distribution is with? Like, I feel like Netflix would be someone who'd just pick it up because it's got, you know, their star child in it.
Yeah, I don't know. So, somebody's really dropped the ball with this one.
And I say star child, is she like 30 or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how old she is. But are you guys like Nancy fans on Stranger Things?
She's not my fave, but I definitely love Stranger Things. So it was cool to see someone from that universe.
Can I just say her clothes and haircut choice in the latest season was awful.
Yes. Like compared to how she looked at the beginning, like I don't know what they're doing with her.
I much prefer her with like it pulled back or like it's just that weird like mum perm thing.
Dude, I have a feeling that every character in Stranger Things, like that none of them have any control over that and they all hate it. Like I saw this thing about the hairstylist who in the break they were all supposed to grow their hair so that they can make their 80s styles. And, like, all the kids came back and none of them had done it. And they had to give Will extensions. This wasn't for this season, but the one before. They had to give Will extensions so they could give him that full-on, like, Leave It to Beaver kind of bowl cut thing. And, like, he's in the chair getting it done and he looks so upset.
Miserable. Yeah, he's on record that he fucking hates that haircut. Yeah. He hates it. And, like, it is ridiculous that anyone would have that haircut.
Yeah, like, he's grown up so much. Like, you don't have to have the same haircut from when you were a little boy stuck in the other world.
Especially now that we know he's gay, like, just have some self-respect.
I was like, what does that mean?
So, Brendan, I kind of suggested that you should watch this one as well. Did you get around to it?
I didn't.
I
had to watch this. I got stuck on watching all of Mission
Zombies?
Hill.
Yeah.
And Zombies 3, yeah.
Yeah, I rewatched this film. Second viewing, I enjoyed it just as much as the first. I don't know about your upbringing, Lucy. Did you go to Catholic school at all? Or
No, I was, like, very public school, but, like, definitely from, like, a religious-ish family. But it was never this stifled at all. And, yeah, it just is so upsetting to see, like, the damage that that sort of, like... that sort of upbringing can do.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I don't feel very well. And so I didn't take many notes. And truly all I wrote was, good for you, girl. So I thought it was done in quite a tasteful way.
I found it very relatable. Like, I grew up in a very religious household and went to Catholic school. And 1 year of school, one of my friends took me to one of these Christian camps that's depicted in the film. And
oh boy.
This film is scarily accurate. Just the vibe of it, the details of it, that it just gets so much right. There's like there's one sequence of the film, there's another character played by one of the actresses from 13 Reasons Why, and she's doing like a speech about, like, her traumatic experience with her family or whatever. And she pairs her speech with, like, a current pop song and then writes out all the lyrics of the pop song and hands them out to everyone in the class so they can read the like, inane lyrics of the pop song as she's talking her speech. And it just, like, felt like such a specific and real and stupid moment that I could imagine 100% happening at one of these camps. As you said, like, you just feel like, good on you, girl, because it's about, like, this girl, she's just, like, discovering her sexuality, discovering who she is, and everything in this Catholic doctrine is kind of, like, in opposition of that, and it's her kind of finding her way to go, hey, wait a second, like, religion is bullshit and all of this is bullshit, and, like, I can be who I want to be and feel the things I'm feeling
and I'm still a good person. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And maybe it's all these pious people that are actually all hypocrites.
And I love that she did have that, like, those moments of being like, you're such a hypocrite and you're all pervs. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Go, Nancy.
Any film that has a triumphant character moment that involves jerking off with a back massager to the sex scene in Titanic has my thumbs up of approval.
I feel like that's actually, like, one of the reasons I was hesitant to watch it as well, is because it's like, it sounds like it's a sexual awakening coming of age story about a young woman or a teenager, and it just feels a bit weird for me to be watching that.
But it's never great. Like, I think, Lucy, you can back me up on this.
Done tastefully.
It's tastefully done. Like, you don't feel gross.
It wasn't playing on SBS in the year 2000.
No. It's very tame.
I just loved as well that it was set when it was, and she had that Nokia phone. I had that exact phone, same cover, same color, and she's, like, playing Snake on the bus. Yeah, you know, when something just, like, totally takes you back, it was amazing.
Yeah, Yeah, and there's like such amazing needle drops as well, like Mandy Moore's Candy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just so good. I really want more people to discover this film. I feel like it really needs to be discovered. It needs to be dumped on Netflix for people to like actually pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So anybody from Netflix listening, you know, get on
this. I assume they do, yeah.
Yes. Did you think this was better than Soul?
Ooh, I really liked Soul, but maybe. They're both great.
Oh, wow.
They were both great. Maybe not better, but equally as good in a totally different genre.
Yeah, they're very hard films to compare
to
compare with each other.
They've got a religious aspect, like a...
Yeah, well, that was my connection when I recommend it on the Soul episode. So,
good connection.
Yeah. But I would say, personally, I think Soul is a better movie overall, but I would definitely highly recommend this one as well. Mm. Next up is Brendan. He was given the 2001 rotoscoped animated film Waking Life by Lucy, who also recommended it on our Soul episode. In the film, directed by Richard Linklater and starring Ethan Hawke, a man shuffles through a dream, meeting various people and discussing the meanings and purposes of the universe. So, Lucy, why did you recommend this to Brendan?
I just thought maybe it'd be something that he would like. Animation and meaning of life and...
pontificating.
Existential stuff. I mean, I know maybe it could be viewed as that, but... I definitely saw it when I was like, 20 years old or something like that. And I thought it was very cool. And yeah, I just thought, give it a go.
So, Brendan, what did you think?
Like, I really did not like this film to start with.
Okay.
Like, I reckon you're just so used to sitting down with a film and you're expecting a narrative and stuff like that. But as I sort of sat in it, I started to really, like, I think once I was, like, through the part where it's like, oh, this is more like an art installation. You know what I mean? Like, if I went to an art gallery and this was going, I'd sit down and I'd watch the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that.
Whereas, like, I was just trying to connect dots and I'm like, oh, I think I got really irritated because I'm trying to, like, figure out where this is going, and it's not that sort of thing. And then once I sort of let go of that, I found myself enjoying it a lot more. So like, there's definitely, so like, for people who haven't watched it, like, the entire art style is basically rotoscoped, which is where they draw over the top of real footage in artistic ways to sort of make it look like animation, but you still have that like real life motion and stuff.
But it kind of changed, didn't it? Like, there were some times when the style was quite abstract.
Yeah, and so the style also continues to sort of warp constantly. So there's never like this like moment of stillness. It's always like amorphizing, and the background even is like swirling, and it can be very like disorientating. I think a lot, like reading a lot of reviews of other people and stuff, there's like this constant like, you know, mention of like being a stoner, like this is something you should watch on like mushrooms or something like that. But yeah, the whole thing is just people I guess with different ideas or thoughts just wanting to like sit down and express them, basically. That's what it felt like. Do you know much about the background of how it came to be?
Me?
Yeah.
So not really, but I do know that Richard Linklater's first film, which I've also seen, is called Slacker. Have either of you seen that?
No.
I haven't actually seen it.
Yeah. Kind of like his Clerks, I guess, you know, like.
That's the thing that made him.
Yeah, and he won lots of awards and he made it for no money and all this stuff. And it's kind of like Waking Life, except it's not animated. And it's just sort of all these people floating around talking shit. And maybe like one person will walk past another and then the camera will stay with that group of people. You know, like it kind of, it's the same sort of thing. It's like a loose thread. And it's all these people just having all these conversations, like Slacker, you know, people that don't have jobs and whatever. And something from that movie, there's a guy who's crazy about cars and he's talking about all this crazy stuff about cars. And then I'm pretty sure they lifted all that dialogue and put it in Dazed and Confused. You know, the way Matthew McConaughey says that crazy speech about cars in that movie. He's got, and it's got all these slick lines. Yeah. And it was the guy from that movie. So I don't know what the question was, but something about
Slackers was like the thing that sort of made him, and so he sort of continued that in a I guess a bigger way in this one. Or?
Yeah, and then he had some different animation forays. I think he did the same kind of thing that movie
Scanner Darkly.
Yeah. And then also something that I haven't seen, I want to say Brother Bear, but that's not what it is. What is it? It's something Bear. Bad News Bears?
Bad News Bears.
Well, Bad News Bears wasn't an animated film.
Okay, well, I have not seen it, but I thought maybe I got Brother Bear and Bad News Bears.
He did have it. He had a new one this year, Apollo something or other, might have been Netflix film that he's done again, like another rotoscope film.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. So he kind of likes that stuff. And, you know, he also made School of Rock, which we watched with Otis this weekend. Otis was in and out, but he definitely got his little toy guitar and was, like, playing with Adrian, and Adrian got his bass, and it was the cutest thing in the world. So love Linklater.
Was that inspired by the School of Rock picture book that I bought him for his birthday?
We do love it.
Like, he does have, like, a catalogue of some, like, good films, like...
Yeah, and I loved the way, especially, you know, 20-year-old me watching this, watching Waking Life, you know, that's the movie we are talking about. It has the characters from Before Sunrise.
Bed together,
And their kind of speech, I can't remember, but maybe she's like, maybe I'm just a flashback, you're on your deathbed.
Yeah, it's like her, she's thinking, she's like, I can't help but feel like I'm just the dream of, or like the memories of my old self in the future, reflecting back on myself kind of thing.
And I loved the way, because I think at the time, I'm remembering my dates correctly, there'd only been that first film, not the other two. And it was kind of cool because it was like, oh, here's these two characters, like... But, you know, they had this one night in Paris and then you never find out what happens. I remember watching that and being like, oh, cool, like, they got together or whatever. have you seen those movies?
I know they're, like famous, like, must-watch, like, cinemaphile films, but I've never watched them.
Oh, I loved them.
Have you guys watched them?
Yeah, I love all three of them.
Yeah.
And I love a lot of Richard Linklater's movies.
Yeah, like Boyhood is him too, isn't it?
Yeah. This movie, though, I fucking hate. Like, yeah, I watched it when it came out.
I was going to ask you, Paul, what you thought, because I know you don't really like movies that don't like really have a really strong narrative that it beats you over the head with. Do you really like art films?
This is really like reminiscent of that era, though. Like there was even Clerks is this to a certain extent. Clerks definitely has a much stronger narrative, but it just was like, let's screw, like, try to build some way that people just have these conversations. But I feel like at this time of cinema, indie films were people getting into rooms and having conversations about random shit.
And I think you have to pay Richard Linklater, like, credit. He has some big ideas. Like, I think Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, those films, that you know, the same two people 11 years apart every time or whatever it is. And then Boyhood, that's, like, a crazy concept. So, I think, like, I like that he tries different things. And, you know, like I said, 20 years old and discovering, like, avant-garde and all this whatever, I really thought it was cool, something different, and good on him.
Yeah, I think, like, the Before series is a film, is a trilogy of films of people having conversations, just walking and talking and having conversations.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I connected with those characters a lot more, and I was more interested in the conversations they were having. This kind of, like, philosophy, meaning of life stuff, just, like, I would say
half of this is that, and then the other half is the part I really struggled with, which felt like more that element of, like, stoner platitudes where it's like talking this big way but saying nothing. I found, like, there was this guy on the bridge, if you can remember that one, where he's like doing this, like, I am him and he is me. Mm. And I'm just like, I have no idea what this guy's saying.
I actually just had a weird revelation. So I saw this movie when I was in high school because I definitely, like, listened to the speech and paused it with every line and wrote it out and had it on my year 12 diary.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I did that. Where he was like, are you a dreamer? Times are hard for dreamers. You know, that one. This is the most exciting time to be alive.
See, that was the cool one where, like, he's, because that one's felt a bit more connected to this, because there is, like, a protagonist who's, like sort of this, just this guy who's meeting with all these people and, like, he's trying to wake up and he can't seem to wake up, and it's got this element of, like, talking about lucid dreaming and stuff.
Yeah.
And that dreamer speech, I enjoyed that one. But there's, like, it was very hit or miss. Like, there was, like, every third one I was like, oh, I'm actually really paying attention. I really enjoy what this person's saying. Like, yeah.
So it was a good watch. Yeah, mixed bag.
Yeah.
Did you like it on a visual level?
No.
I feel like Rotoscope is not, people don't really like it.
I've been, like, playing with Rotoscope really recently.
Oh, so it's fine when you do it, but award-winning Richard Linklater.
Like, I just, it felt like, I don't know how to say it for people who don't play around with, like, programs, but, like, there's this program called, that was Macromedia. It got bought up by Adobe. I'm not even bothered.
Yeah, I'm so bored.
I'll just cut to the chase. The film's hideous. All right, so did you think this was a better movie than Soul?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It definitely gave me a lot more hope and, it was more uplifting than Soul. I found Soul much more depressing.
It's funny how, like, I was just like, I'm going to recommend an animated film. And then really when you get to drill down into the narrative or lack thereof, it is kind of this existential meaning of life.
Yeah, yeah. It's thing. Very connected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon I did.
Yay,
I reckon
I had a good better winning.
Time with this poll. Paul's like, so, like, whatever, bullshit.
Go yeah. and watch Zombies.
All right. Well, I vehemently disagree, but to each their own.
Well, right. It wasn't recommended to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I guess my opinion doesn't count. It just doesn't count. Finally, we have myself. I was given the TV show Mission Hill by Brendan, who recommended it on our Brother Bear episode.
Found which episode I recommended it.
Oh, didn't you say it was Brother Bear?
Well, you went through a few of the animated ones. You went, it wasn't the animated ones. And so I went through every single one that wasn't animated to find it.
All right. So it must have been, look, we're just going to say it was the Brother Bear episode.
Well, it was the Brother Bear episode because it was one about, it's a show, it's animated, and it's about two brothers. And that was the connection.
Yeah.
Brother Bear.
Yeah. So it's actually a pretty good connection, but Brendan's connections are so fucking tenuous. It's so hard. I should really write down, like, and make a list of what we recommend in every episode so I don't have to search through every time.
I listened to Bad Johnson twice because I was like, I swear I connected it to Bad Johnson because there's that flasher guy who, like, He just walks past and goes, penis, 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 penis.
In the show, a nerdy honor student is sent to the big city to live with his estranged brother and his group of eclectic friends. So why did you recommend Mission Hill to me?
I think it will be self-evident. I have no idea what you're going to say, but I do. I think you're 100% going to be like, I loved every moment of this and it hit me in all the right spots. I basically chose it because it's a funny animation that speaks of a time that I guess we grew up in or we're in now. And it's really unique. The art style, the comedy, I think, still holds up. So I thought you might enjoy it. You'll have a 20-minute show as well.
Yeah. So generally with these tenuous episodes, we have the rule, if you recommend a TV show, we're not expecting the person to watch the entire TV show. We'll let them watch the equivalent of a movie. So there's one season of this show. It went for 13 episodes. So technically I could have watched 4 episodes and got away with it. But I watched all 13. I really enjoyed Mission Hill.
Yeah, you did. I'm so glad too, because that 13th episode is a real sweet one. And I was
like something that's very much my wheelhouse. It's about like a gay couple and the love of movies. So it's like,
yeah.
But yeah, this is a really, really cool show. And I don't know how it slipped like out of my periphery. I never really saw a second of this show before this week.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
And it got completely mistreated when it got released. The network like aired 2 episodes and then didn't show any more for another year, and then showed 6 more and then show the end. And it was
so, do you
like
know when it was aired?
It was originally during
Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, and like it was pegged in there, and it's just like, who's watching this who would also appreciate this? I'm not sure.
I would have been.
You would have been.
That's exactly Paul.
And in this, there is one episode where they kind of do a sort of reference to Sarah Michelle Gellar. So I guess they were trying for that crossover. But this is a really fun show. One of the main characters, the nerdy brother, he sounds so much like it's Pat. Did you pick up on that?
That's unfortunate.
So the entire show, I couldn't help but think of it's Pat. But
and that made it warmer to your heart.
That character did get on my nerves sometimes.
Because he's supposed to get on your nerves. He's annoying.
Yeah. I really loved Andy, the main character. I loved his, like, the voice actor, the character itself. I love the two roommates as well, the stoner slacker guy who's actually uber successful but doesn't put any effort into his job, and then like the kind of hippy dippy girl in the apartment as well. This show, I know Brendan, when he recommended it to me, said that it actually won a GLAAD award at the time for its gay representation, and it is like super ahead of its time. There's like a gay couple that live in the apartment block with them, and they're just portrayed as a normal couple. No one ever says gay jokes about them. They're, just presented as a couple, and nobody ever questions it.
And don't you love really that it's like, that is revolutionary?
Yeah. Yeah. As for in 1999, definitely was.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, completely. But, you know. Yeah.
Like, I couldn't confirm this, but I keep hearing from sources that it was the first ever, like, gay kiss broadcast, maybe not on like HBO or whatever, but on broadcast television.
I mean, technically, the first male on male kiss on primetime TV was The Simpsons in the episode, you know, where Homer gets the hair serum. He has the and he kisses his like assistant that he gets at the end. That was the first male and male kiss on TV.
I meant like a gay relationship. Yeah. Rather than just two dudes backing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That were cartoons.
Yeah. Well, no,
not just
anything,
cartoons. Anything. And anything.
Mm. Yeah.
It's crazy to think 1999. Yeah.
Yeah. It's animation has broken the ceiling in that like multiple times. Gay representation. So, I really like the show. It is a shame that the network had no idea what to do with it, and it's kind of gone into obscurity. I watched this whole thing on YouTube because it's the only place you can watch it now. But it's very easy to find on YouTube, so I would recommend to anyone like to do that. There's multiple different like orders of episodes. So like on IMDb and on the DVD, the episodes are in a completely different order than each other. So,
yeah, because it did air different, like, episodes to what was actually planned out and stuff like that. So, I think the DVD is correct. The unfortunate thing, it suffers from, like, the Daria syndrome of DVDs where they didn't have the rights to the music for like distribution, only for broadcast. And so a lot of the music that was in that era that, like, you know, made pieces had to be like pulled out for the DVD and replaced with like generic stuff. So that's a bit unfortunate, but it's still a really fun show, obviously, besides that.
Yeah. Cause like, yeah, Daria, Freaks and Geeks are two shows that have that. Like, the versions you watch now don't have the original music in them, but they're still good shows despite that. And I would kind of put this alongside Daria. I think they're pretty good companion pieces to each other. Yeah, and as you said, the art style is really cool. It's just a fun, like, comforting 20-minute sitcom.
I might have to watch it.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely up your alley, Lucy. Yeah, definitely give it a go on YouTube.
It was really Daria that got me over the line.
Yeah. So good. And I don't know if you guys, I know, Brendan, you saw the new Beavis and Butthead movie.
Beavis and Butthead do the universe.
Yeah, and Daria does have a little cameo, so.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
But not so much that it's worth watching the film if you
can't
stand Beavis and Butthead, yeah.
But it is, I had fun with the Beavis and Butthead movie. But,
was there a knowledge of nostalgia watching this?
Yeah, it just,
like,
I
things
mean,
like bringing up the real world and...
Yeah, but it also, like, there is a lot of love for Scar in this show, which obviously I can't, you know, relate with. I'm sure that was more your thing. And that's what I have to say. The end credit song sucks. I don't know if that's a placeholder for the DVD, but it just, like, for such a funny, upbeat show, and then it's got this really downer end credit music. I don't know why that was the case, but...
It's not downer. It's just like some like chill trumpet, you know.
Yeah, it's because you're a Scarface and you know. You love that shit. All right. So, did I like this more than Brother Bear?
Ah, that's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I confidently say that. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get a season two. I like recently listened to an interview with one of the creators, and they've been pitching around season two, which will focus on particularly Gus and Wally, the gay couple, as bringing them forth as like more of a main character of the series. But it'll also be like flashbacks, so like sort of them leading their lives now and like you figuring out what happened with some flashbacks and stuff like that. So,
Interesting. We'll definitely watch that.
Me too.
All right. So, now it's time to decide what we're going to inflict on each other next episode.
Can I make Lucy watch Mission Hill?
No double ups. Lucy, you have me. What are you going to give me?
You're going to watch About Time.
Ooh. Exciting.
Yeah, I think you might
I've been
like
meaning
it.
To watch this one. Yeah. Do you think I'm going to cry?
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
But like in a like a lovely way, you know?
Yeah. I'm always up for like a, you know, a cry that to get those emotions out.
So oh my God. I don't want to bring it up again, but I always cry in School of Rock and we just watched it the other day. I just cried so much. I just cry so much in School of Rock.
It's a great movie.
Mm.
All right, Brendan.
Yes. Oh, what am I recommending? Because I listen to every single recommendation part of our episodes recently, I recall Lucy being very interested in a film called My Blind Brother. And so I'm recommending My Blind Brother to you.
I do not remember that, but sure.
It's a sort of a fast starring Jenny Slate and Adam Scott and Nick Kroll. It's cool. About a brother who's
blind.
It's about a guy whose brother is blind, and Jenny Slate starts dating the non-blind brother and then accidentally ends up in a relationship with the blind brother. And it's this sort of funny, hilarious love triangle.
Okay, cool. I love Jenny Slate, so that's, yeah, cool.
That's what you said during the episode, so yeah. I hope you enjoy.
Ooh, so I think there's a very good chance that Lucy's going to love My Blind Brother and I'm going to really love About Time. So we need some conflict on this episode.
Paul, you remember I have loaded in the recommendations, A Cure for Insomnia. You remember that one?
Yes.
52 hours.
I also have a 6-hour Beatles documentary ready to go.
Well, I don't care. I'm going to recommend.
Worth it.
Because last episode, I recommended this film and you seem interested by it. So I think you might like it.
Oh, God.
What did you recommend last episode?
Teen Beach Movie.
I was hoping I would get that.
Well, you're welcome to watch it as well. I mentioned that it's a Disney
Channel. I've already seen it.
No, you haven't. I mentioned it's a Disney Channel original that's like about some teens that are sucked into like a 60s beach party musical. And you mentioned that you love the music of that era, which this film like ate. So, and it stars Ross Lynch from your favorite movie, Status Update. So,
it's my fault movie. For showing for like throwing any bone towards Paul.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna be a fun one. About Time, My Blind Brother, and Teen Beach Movie.
Cool.
Teen Beach Movie. Yay.
All right. Well, thanks for another really fun tenuous swap episode. Until next time. Don't be a piece of shit on the ground. DPW and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brendan Levi.
Teen Beach Movie, woo!
Yay, bye!
Bye!
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.